Hello and welcome to Black All Year, the podcast where I, Steph Adusse, hold space for stories, struggles and joy at the heart of Black identity every month of the year. In this episode, I'm joined by the brilliant Salah Kaitesi for a powerful conversation about Black hair discrimination. From cultural pride to workplace bias, we unpack the deep-rooted impact of how Black hair is policed, politicised and misunderstood, and why the fight for hair equity is about so much more than style. Salah is the founder, artistic director and executive editor of Tikisi, a platform that amplifies the voice of African women and girls across the globe. She is a passionate social entrepreneur and a champion for gender equality and empowerment. She draws on over 15 years of experience in community building, digital storytelling and advocacy. With academic roots in sociology and politics and a self-taught background in blogging and media, she's committed to challenging stereotypes and celebrating diversity, especially with Black, Asian and minority ethnic communities. When she's not leading conversations that matter, you might find her re-watching things like Thor Ragnarok, or maybe Infinity War, or possibly Endgame. Hi, Salah. It's great to have you with me today. And we kind of know each other a little bit, don't we? We've come across each other once or twice.
Once or twice. Yeah, I think so. It's really lovely to be on the podcast. I've never done a podcast before, I don't think, have I? No. Maybe I have, but I can't remember. But yeah.
I'm amazed you haven't got one yourself, actually, knowing who you are and what you do. But there's only a certain number of hours in the day, aren't there?
Exactly.
I'm really, really happy that you agreed to be a guest on this one, because it's been interesting. Season three, there have been a few topics that I've wanted to talk about from the very beginning.
Right.
And hair is one of them. And I've really struggled to get people to come on and talk about Black hair. And I think from all kinds of different aspects that we'll probably cover today. But
yeah.
But you currently have a campaign about Black hair discrimination. So let's start with that and then let's see where we get to. So what is it that's kind of spurred you on to start this campaign?
For a very, very long time, I've faced hair discrimination. And a lot of the times I get to find that there's so many things that I face that then I realize it's actually not just me. Simply by talking to other, you know, to friends or family. But at the time, also, I am privileged now to hold so many people's truths. This is what I keep saying, is that I work in the community and there's various things that people come and talk to you about. You know, one person will walk in either with a problem with trying to find a job, but that will lead to something else and something else. And at the end of it, you're already now talking about hair or other matters. And then it's just listening to those constant stories of like, I've had to, I need money because I need to do my hair more often. I've got to buy these expensive weaves or change my hairstyle because at work, they don't think it's acceptable. And then I thought, you know, a lot of the times you hear people doing these things, and I've seen similar campaigns, and the one which was successful in the US, where they actually put a law in place. And I thought, why not us? Because the ones in the UK, which I have come across, and I'm not trying to say I'm the first person to do this, is that they're mainly like London or south of the country based, and they tend to forget that the north exists, or even the northeast. So I really wanted to hammer down on the fact that actually this is not just a London issue or Manchester issue. We here in the northeast face similar problems, or should I say racism or discrimination. And that's how it came about. I was just sitting on the sofa and I thought, well, how do I go about doing this? What should I do? I know I blog all the time, but it wasn't going to be enough. And I thought, I need this to go everywhere so that people can access it no matter where they are in the world. And then as I Googled and trying to find out more information, it was like a petition, and then it was like change.org. I thought, okay, what's that? Finding out about it. And then I thought, I'll just do it. But I have to be honest with you, I was petrified.
Mm, why?
Doing it. Because just like anything that you put, because it's me putting my vulnerability, I guess, out there for the world to know about. We face this thing, I'm sure you face your own struggles. And a lot of the times you know that you can deal with them in your own kind of way. But actually now deciding to put something out there, it's because you know it's going to be criticized, or it's going to be, don't know, either liked or not liked, or people are like, what's all that all about? And you know for a fact that the reason why you're doing it is so genuine, but there's no guarantee that what's coming back is going to be that genuine. And so, yeah, I was petrified to do it. So I did ask my friend Claire, I asked definitely my husband about it, and he was like, go for it. Because I was, and he was sitting next to me and I'm writing. I was like, do you think this is okay? Are you sure it's good? So yeah, it makes, yeah. So, and then eventually went out there, and yeah, and to this day, I'm still like, oh, okay, it's actually out there.
And I think the thing is, you're absolutely right that I think some of the things when I've spoken about hair and black hair and some of my experiences is you almost immediately get a white person saying, oh yeah, I've had that. And so when I talk about having the curly hair that I have, someone else with curly hair or someone who knows, you know, oh, my wife's got curly hair and she has that. And it's like, no, she doesn't. I'm really sorry, but no, she doesn't. It's not the same, because it's mm-hmm. not, it is about hair, but it's not just about hair, is it? It's
yes.
It's about that on top of everything else that we experience, but the judgment that's put on us because of our hair that other people don't have.
Yeah. And growing up, we used chemicals. I did. Yeah. I used chemicals. And, you know, or even just trying, because we thought that was the norm. That was the best way to look. But at times, I don't mind, I'm not saying I'm judging anyone who straightens their hair. It's just that maybe, straightening your hair because you want to just straighten it is okay. But to try and change it because the other people are telling you it's not right, or it's not good, or it doesn't look neat, or it's not professional, then that is where the difference is for me. And I feel that is very, very wrong. I don't think we should be policed how we wear our hair. I love braids. We'll constantly have braids
on. Braids. You love the bloody
oh, thank braids. You. Thank you. I love braids, and I don't think I would survive without braids, simply because it's part of me. It's my mm-hmm. culture. It's what I love to do. I love having different hairstyles. I love going into seeing a new hairstyle and trying it on, or just simply just thinking, actually, no, I can just leave it as it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think what something that you said earlier, and I've certainly experienced it, and I know that somebody else we know, Georgia, has also experienced it, is that thing of, I've got a job interview and having to think about, what do I do about my hair? So if I straighten my hair, it takes hours, 2.5 hours easily for me to blow dry my hair straight, put the straighteners through it. Then if it rains, it's just a nightmare. And having to think, okay, so if I've got this job interview on Tuesday, then Sunday afternoon and evening, I'm going to spend straightening my hair because I won't have time on Monday
to do it. Yeah, yeah.
And that thing of, well, what will it mean if I don't? When I first started wearing my hair natural, I did it over a bank holiday weekend. And I think at the time, the person I was with at the time was away. My daughter was away on brownie camp or something like that. And I was a bit bored, if I'm honest. And I thought, I wonder what my hair would look like curly. And I got some product and I did my hair curly and I liked it. But even then, I kind of went to work with it. I was terrified about going into work with curly hair. And I actually then, probably for the next 3 or 4 years, had my hair, when I had my hair natural, I had it natural but tied up. You didn't get to see how much hair I've got. It was just, it was kind of tightly controlled, though it wasn't straight.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you mean.
And so it was that kind of the fear of people will see me as being less professional. Mm-hmm. Because that's the message, you're right. That's the message that we had. We have that thing of at the Western beauty standard,
yes,
tend to have either straight hair or big loose curls.
Yes.
Not the type of hair texture that Black people have.
True. And it's actually even worse. I know your experiences or Georgia's experiences are valid. It's even worse now if you're not your heritage or mixed race, because then your hair is even much more curled and it's not that long texture, you know, soft textured. So that's even extreme. The people who have that type of hair even face it worse. You know, you see kids growing up where you listen to stories from parents whose children just don't like their hair. Simply because it doesn't look like their friend's hair, and their friend's hair is the one that they see in the books that they read. It's the one they grew up seeing on the television. So that was the only acceptable hair. And you can't blame them, or you can't blame us growing up with that kind of look, because that's what was in our face. It's like anything that looked like us didn't exist. You know, we existed, but we never saw ourselves on TVs or in magazines or newspaper articles or even in the books that we had in schools. So then there's no wonder that, you know, children are growing up thinking that their hair is not ideal, or it's bad, or it's just wrong. And
and the language that's used around Black hair, just to say as well, I completely agree with you. And I think this is the thing, a lot of the time I have to acknowledge the privilege that I have, because my skin is lighter, my hair is a different texture. But that thing of the words that are used around Black hair are things like difficult, hard to control.
Do you wash it?
No.
And I sit there thinking, okay.
Yeah. When I've had braids, even when I've had braids and people have said, how long does it take? And you tell them, oh, that's such a long time. Well, yes, it is. But actually then my hair doesn't need a great deal doing to it for the next however long.
3 months.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, a few hours for not having to have a lot after then. But it's very negative language that's used around our hair. And I think that there was a TikTok that I did a reaction to, which was a young mixed heritage girl, and the hairdresser was just going with her hair, and all she needed was to know how to take care of her hair. But the language this hairdresser used, he was a white man or an Italian man, I think he might be, but and it was that, it's so difficult, it's awful, it's, you know, what a mess. And you just kind of go, that is awful for a youngster to hear about something that is them, it's part of them.
Absolutely. And there's no way that that child is going to go away and think, I'm going back to that place, or I want to have this hair, because someone's already said it's awful. Yeah. But also it's, I think sometimes I know, and I have to really openly say this, I know not everyone who says anything to do with our hair means bad or is intentionally wanting to be racist or discriminating. But a lot of the times I find that even when they say it nicely, it has a little thing added to it. So one experience I had is, I change my hairstyle almost every month or every other month. And then it's like walking into work and then someone just turns around, you change your hair often. It's the way it was delivered. Well, you change your hair all the time. I can't even tell if it's you. You know, that kind of thing. I'm like, well, it is me. It's just my hair that's changed. My voice is still the same and everything else is still the same. Yeah, and also another experience is going into, I know, hairdressers. And it was in North Shields, I think, this one. And I walked in and they just all stopped and looked at me. And I asked if they did Afro any braiding or Afro treated. They said, no, we don't do that type of hair. Said, I think you need to head into Newcastle.
It's lucky you didn't get, I think you need an ethnic hairdresser. I have had that before.
Oh, yeah.
And actually even worse is the people who go, oh, yes, I can do that. And they don't have a clue. And actually the damage that does to people's hair can be really quite challenging. And within things like within schools and within the workplace, people are facing real discrimination, aren't they?
Absolutely. Kids are being sent back home, you know, because you always see like an influx. I have friends who have like a hairdresser, so I know about the stories that go in there. But also I know that towards September, for example, during new school year, it's like mad. It's like everybody wants their hair braided. So you get parents who are like, finally, I can have their hair braided. Because another thing people don't understand, it's a protective hairstyle that it keeps us kind of like, so that we're able to run out the door without, like you said, spending 2 hours trying to brush your hair. And but then it's like you've had to pay, because it's not cheap.
No.
You've had to pay to have your hair braided, and then your children got to school. But once they've got to school, then they're sent back. And you're like, what? And that hairstyle might have taken them 3 hours to do, you see? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, it doesn't conform to the school standard. It's not that. They either straighten it or what. I said, what? But you've got kids with extensions, hair extensions.
Yeah.
And what's the difference? Just because mine is braided, you've got others with a braid, you know, like maybe one or two braids. Why is it different? And this particular person I'm talking about, family, they were told they had to actually take it out, otherwise the child was not welcome in school. And the child themselves, you know how it is sometimes, if you don't have the best hairdresser, how would they pull and tug on your hair? So it takes about a day or two for your scalp to kind of still to find, well, to feel at peace, I would say. So imagine you've gone through that whole experience and then you're told, like, you have to take it out like 3 days later or something like that. It's traumatic. And yeah, I think they intervened by going and speaking to someone in their community, who then had to tell the school that this is something that is not acceptable. I did not follow up because it's been a bit busy. Just to try and understand what's happening. But yeah, those things are happening. One good example that I have is my son. And I remember thinking, why was I not this brave? at his age, he actually turned, what he was told at school, he need to take out, because growing up, I think he loved his hair. His hair is like yours. He was so easy to manage and everything, but he never really fussed about, you know, braiding his hair or anything like that. But as he grew older, he thought, maybe I'll start plaiting it or doing some locks or anything. So he did that. And then the school called him and said, you know, he was called in front of the headmaster or somebody and told that he need to take it out. And he said, no.
Good for him.
And he said no, and then he came, he said no, and then he said, what, why not? And he told them, well, this is my culture. Mm-hmm. This is me. Actually, you're lucky I didn't do this from the age of four. Kind of thing, do you know what I mean? I remember thinking when he came home, I was like, oh my God, you're gonna be expelled and all this. And he said, no, mom, no, I'm not gonna do it. I remember I was so proud of him, and just thinking, how was I not that brave? But yeah, it's good. It's good to see that the kids these days do not take anyone. you know, they won't just listen because you've said this. They will challenge you, which is something that is good to see.
Yeah, and that shows how secure he is in who he is. It's one of the things I try to do when I'm teaching dancing. So we have a number of Black kids, and quite often they have their hair braided, but actually sometimes, you know what it's like, sometimes they have the braids taken out and they wait a week or two before it's rebraided.
So they do it again. Yeah.
I make a point of every time that they change their hairstyle of telling them how nice it is, whether that's an in-between stage or they've got the locks. I'll talk to them about, especially when they have colours put in, I'll go, oh, I love that, because I think they need to have that lifting up. And in a dance environment, particularly when you're doing things like ballet, it's not usual to have Black people doing things like ballet, unfortunately.
No.
And when when we're talking about things like they're doing an exam or a show or something, and you're supposed to have your hair in a bun, I will take the time to say, okay, so what are we going to do with your hair? And how do you plan to have it for the show? Are you going to have it braided? And are you going to have large braids or fine braids? And how can we work that into a bun for you, so that they can look like the others on the stage but keep their own cultural identity. And there have been a couple of times when they've said, oh, I'm not too sure, and I've said, well, actually, if you have it braided, it's easier to have it in a bun once it's braided, but either have loose braids or have it on the scalp and then loose, so we can put it in the bun
on the side.
Because I think it's so important when they're children, and they may be very different from the children around them, to see that difference as being a really great thing,
mm-hmm. yeah,
rather than, oh, I haven't got the blonde straight hair that they, that
yes,
that person's yes. got.
No, definitely. I have hope that our future generation is probably going to be in a much better world than we are currently in.
Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed.
That's it. And I think it's really sad that, schools have some unusual rules, but we see that replicated in workplaces as well, don't we?
Absolutely. So it's like you from the young age, you're facing that discrimination. You get to an adulthood where you're like now independent and you've got a job and you're like, my God, getting a job was the biggest issue I was going to face. And then no, but then you have to, you face all these other things as well, apart from just racism in itself. But yeah, discriminating you against simply because of the way you wear your hair. Mm-hmm.
And it's considered to be, if you have your hair braided or locked, I mean, locks in particular, people go, oh, they're dirty and so all of that mm-hmm. rubbish. But it's almost seen like, oh, well, you're less intelligent or a lower
yes.
status because you've yes. chosen to do that.
Yes.
And yes. I wonder whether that's some of it comes from within our community as well, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think this only comes from, this discrimination doesn't just come from white people, anyone who doesn't have Afro-textured hair. I think our very own community sometimes are the driving force behind all these negative things that we face sometimes in society, simply because they either enhance it or allow it to happen, even though they can see that it's wrong. So yeah, it would be good not just to educate other people, but even ourselves and the harm that we cause. Yeah.
Right. So I was just thinking, I was doing a quick flick through my mind of kind of famous Black women mm-hmm. and what their hair's like. But there are very few Black women in the spotlight who have wear their hair naturally or in a protective style that I can think of. It tends to be relaxed wigs, that type of thing.
It's always been wigs because like we mentioned earlier, it wasn't acceptable. It's just very recently that even TV presenters on our own screens, news readers were allowed to wear to wear their hair in braids. So because it's not something that has been acceptable for such a long time, all those films, you rarely see it. That's why every now and again, when you see that person, you remember them because it's the one person that you can see and remember them doing that. I think one person who comes to mind, like celebrities or people I know, is Michelle Obama. I can't forget the day she prayed. She turned up, I think, to a meeting. I'm sure the media went crazy with that, but she wore the braids and it kind of uplifted everyone else to feel that they can actually wear it because actually they're very neat. I'm always wondering why so much hate, because when you look at the intricate, the design, the time and the care and to make the braid, to braid someone's hair, it's so beautiful. And it's our story. It goes beyond just the look. It's got, all the way back to colonization and slavery and all that. They braided, like women would braid each other's hair because it created a path. It was like a message to send across to different plantations. So it's not just something that we do because it's there. It actually has meaning behind it.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it, it's just honestly, Steph, I cannot kid you. If it was possible to have a different hairstyle every week, I would do it. But my scalp wouldn't be happy with that.
No. And it's interesting you should mention that as well, because one of the things I've been giggling to myself about over the last week or so is Korean braids. Have you heard about Korean braids?
Oh, no.
So Korean braids are being very popular at the minute and tend to be done by hairstylists, either Western or kind of Korean hairstylists. And a lot of white women are getting Korean braids. So, and somebody was complaining about the fact that the hair started falling out. Well, when you look at what Korean braids are, they're just micro braids.
Right. Oh,
but of course, they can't be owned by the Black community. It has to be something else. So they're just redressed as Korean braids.
Redressed. Right. Okay.
And not surprisingly, because of the differences in our hair and differences in hair texture, you do that on somebody with fine white European hair.
They're going bald.
The hair comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So but I have, like I said, I've been giggling inwardly to that because it's the, well, actually, if you'd taken time to work out what it was that you were doing and where that came from, mm-hmm. you should have made the connection of it's not for you, it's not for your hair, and it's not that we're being mean, it's just that it is not for your hair.
The texture wouldn't hold. No.
So people are finding out the hard way with that one. But yes, that I think you're right. I think the things like braiding go back, well, kind of as pretty much as far back, because it was a protective mm-hmm. style.
Exactly.
It is protective
exactly.
style.
Yeah.
But that thing of then it did become it was almost like a form of protest and communication with slavery and things that is really vital, but we don't learn about that. It's not shared.
No, it's not shared and taught. And if you allow me, I just want to say, like, this year's Tikisa's Black History Month event is focusing on Afro hair and its history and all that. And my hope is that to capture all those things, to actually go back into history, look at what it was done and why it was done and how it was done, and actually bring it back to the future today and see that the patterns and everything else is the same. But the messages have changed because now it's a lot. So I hope in October we'll be able to pull that off and celebrate Afro-textured hair and just Afro hair in general.
Well, if anybody can achieve it, you can. I know that much about you. And I'm rooting for you. I'm not going to be able to make it. We've had this discussion. Unfortunately, I can't make it, but
yeah.
I'm absolutely there for you. So the petition is there, and I'll link to that in the show notes so that people can access. And it's on change.org, did you say?
It's on change.org, yeah. And I think it's got about 400 plus signatures at the minute. It's good start, but it's nowhere near where we would like it to be. And I would like the help of everyone who's listening to this podcast to reshare it, to sign it, and just have that conversation with someone else to truly understand what we go through. We're not doing this for clickbait or anything like that. We are actually facing this discrimination every single day, and it's just not right.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time, and all power to you.
Oh, you too. Thank you and take care.
I hope you've enjoyed that episode of Black All Year. It would be great if you could subscribe and review, because not only will it make sure that you get the content, but it'll help other people to find it too. Take care.